Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of A New Life Awaits, Spirit-Guided Insights to Support Global Awakening, which shares the challenges of 2020 as we awaken to the soul potential within that can heal illness, promote loving relationships with all living beings, and guide us to improve the quality of life by being open-hearted and aware of our interconnectedness to others. I am delighted to welcome Joni Dark Shepherd, author of Rio, A Love Story, who discovered that love is the light and force that makes life miraculous. Hi, Joni, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within to share your open-hearted story with your pet, your dog, Rio.
Thank you, Cheryl, so much for having us.
Joni, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, my guests and I share intimate stories, often of challenges that could have broken our spirit, but when confronted and investigated from this inner source of soul wisdom, actually helps us to grow and thrive, going beyond sadness and dysfunction to a joy of creating life in a wondrous and enjoyable way. As we study the dual nature of life, energetic and physical life, we come to know that emotions and feelings are the real reason we have chosen a physical life in the first place, to move feelings from the most negative to the most positive and loving becomes a skill we can develop with self-investigation and awareness of higher consciousness, so we can discover how life actually works. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Joni will share her own experiences with heartbreak, loss, and tragedy, and how she was overcome and perhaps lost in darkness and depression. She needed a miracle, and miracles arrive in many ways when we allow and accept life to unfold as it must and as it will. Her new canine friend, Rio, enticed her into the light of day and to pursue new activities, which brought her great joy. We will find out how this precious friend helped Joni create her best life. Joni, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person, place, or event that may have shown them or others around them the interest and lifestyle they might think to enjoy and pursue as an adult. For I think that we are all born with a soul destiny, people to meet, places to explore, and values of love and compassion to grow more strongly within our soul essence. So think back for a minute.
I have so many meaningful memories, so many sweet memories when I was young. And, you know, as you're going through them, you appreciate them and you enjoy them. But as a child, not as much as, you know, I look back now and I see how they affected me, perhaps not knowingly, but now I see how. There were very special moments with my parents and my siblings, my brother and sister, and the dogs in the family, and other animals as well. When I was growing up, my family was, we didn't have much. We enjoyed life by spending a lot of time outside in nature. And so I'd be out there with them. You know, our simple joys would be walking and seeing flowers, seeing the birds, listening to them trying to identify the bird calls or trying to get them to land in our hands. My dad, he was really good at that, to have the blue jays land on his hand. Going to the beach and, you know, saving some of the critters that got stranded on the beach, the horseshoe crabs and things like that, and flipping them over and putting them back in the water. We were very close to nature and to the dogs. My sister always had dogs, and I was kind of envious because they were always my sister's dogs. And I could never have one. My mom was like, no, Patty has the dogs, you know. And I never was able to get a dog till I moved out on my own. So all of those things together helped create what I am today. And not knowing.
It sounds like a wonderful beginning for you and a wonderful childhood. And when you were speaking, I so saw some of those remembrances in my time when I was young too. And yeah, so thank you for sharing that. It was very beautifully said. Let's fast forward and let's tell something of the night of the soul or some difficult challenges that made life hard for you at some point.
When life started hitting in a bad way,
Yes, as it will.
if everyone lives long enough, life will come after you and teach you a few things. My sister, who was 8 years older than me, she had
Her
come
name
down
was
with cancer.
Pat. Pat.
Yes,
Yes.
Pat, and she was beautiful. She was beautiful inside and out. And she was diagnosed originally with multiple sclerosis, and through the years she was on Medicaid and, basically was limited to the doctor she could see and the clinics she could go to and everything. And she was always diagnosed as multiple sclerosis, and if something worsened, they would just say, "Oh, it's getting worse. That happens to everyone with MS." And turns out it progressed. Her condition went downhill very quickly at one point, and she was living with my mom at the time. They both were helping each other. My mom was 91 at the time, and mom called me and said, "Come here now because I can't help Pat. She can't stand all of a sudden." And so I ran over there, and she couldn't stand, and we couldn't lift her. It was kind of, she just, the dead weight kind of, it was difficult for us, and so we were trying to figure out what to do, and we took her to the emergency room to be diagnosed, to see what was going on, and they diagnosed her. They gave her a full exam, diagnosed her with brain cancer. It had been brain cancer the last few years that was causing her decline, and she was misdiagnosed, never given the treatment. She was on Medicaid. I kind of attributed to the doctors would just say, "That's what it is. It's the MS getting worse, and this is typical where people lose the ability to walk or limp and so forth." But that really wasn't the cause. Her MS was under control. She was put into a nursing home. We couldn't care for her at home, and she contracted everything after about a month. She started catching everything that the nurse at the time, and a pneumonia put her in the hospital, and then she caught herpes and MRSA, and it was like every few days she would catch something else because her resistance was down. And it was horrible, and she ended up in ICU in a coma with a 105 fever that was getting worse. In a coma on oxygen. It was a horrible experience. My mom was so distraught.
Well, she was 91, and it was hard to, it's always hard to lose a child, and she knew that. And certainly she didn't want that. But let me tell you, I always have synchronistic stories. Now, my sister passed 5 years ago from pancreatic cancer, and she was also diagnosed with MS. She had a mild heart condition, but she had so much energy. And I remember a year and a half before she was diagnosed with cancer. I am an intuitive healer, and I looked at her, and she just didn't look right. And she said to me that she had been to the doctor, and the doctor said to her, "Well, maybe you have cancer," because she told the doctor she was losing weight, but she wasn't trying to. And they didn't do what they should have done. They should have done a complete body scan, and they might have found it. But you know what? I am a believer. I think we come with a life plan, a time to come and time to go, and the way we go is the way it was written into our journey for our soul to benefit, and from those in our life to also gain a new awareness through what we go through. Now, I am a medium, so I know something. Consciousness survives physical death. So I have an easier time dealing with it than most people because I accept it. I know it's part of our journey, and I know there's much more for us beyond here. But still, in all, we had the same story with our sisters.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yes, you too, but there was little we could do. You know, I should have possibly been able to do more,
And
but what could I say to her? Go to your doctor. I should have said to her, go to your doctor and have a complete body scan. But it was her destiny and her journey to have it the way it went. And so I want our listeners out there to know that. Yeah. And I want to go back to something you wrote. You wrote, "My life was in chaos. I was overwhelmed, stressed, ached painfully from losing my only sister, Pat, a few months ago to a long, horrible battle with brain cancer. Aunt Jane died from pneumonia last month, and now my beloved dog, Marley, from his silent battle with stomach cancer. My full-time job was very demanding, and Pat's health had declined, and I had become Mom's primary health care. I was physically and mentally drained." So you express there what everybody, all of us, go through at different points in our life. You can't go through this life without losing people you love or seeing suffering. It is just part of our humanness, not our soul being, because our soul being is forever young and vital, but our physical being has to go through these other challenges. So let's go on. You gave a quote, "There is nothing like the magic and unconditional love that a dog brings into your life." So let's go on to, how did Rio come into your life, and what qualities did this pet exhibit that were very unique and special to you?
After, as you said, my sister, my aunt, and Marley passed away, I called the Marley's dog breeder and asked her if she had a puppy. That would make me laugh because my sister always said, "When your dog passes away, get another dog because it'll distract you, and you'll have to focus on that, and it'll take your heart away and your sadness." So I contacted the breeder and asked her if she had a puppy. That would make me laugh, and she said, "I don't have a puppy, but I have a 1-year-old, and you can have him. But the condition is you have to show him in the show ring, like Westminster." And that was actually the first laugh of joy that I had, because I've never showed anything before. And she said, "Just take lessons, go out there." I was nervous, but that's what I did, and I committed to showing Rio, and along with that, to get his championship, his American Kennel Club championship. And so that became my diversion. And where my attention lied. And I fell in love with this little boy, his personality.
Wasn't his name Zane Grey when you got him?
It was Zane Grey. And
Interesting.
I thought that was interesting because Zane Grey, as I looked up, is an environment. He wrote about different stories, including like the environment. So I didn't want to call Rio Zane. That was his original name. I didn't want to call him Zany. Just because it was kind of like you're a zany, silly dog kind of thing. And so I called him, I changed his name to Rio, and fell in love with this little boy. His personality is so enchanting. To me, he's like a little angel with fur, a little person, very, very responsive to everything I say. He stares into my eyes. There is a soul. There is a soul in this little
Oh
guy.
yes, oh yes. All animals have a soul. Yes, they do. Yeah. And
Yeah,
they're
and
very spiritually guided. They're very aware of spirit and the energies that are around them. And they're very aware of the people's problems, who they care for. The family they have been brought into is not random. They're there for a reason, to help their human counterpart, and they do a great job of that. So, yeah. So let's go on to, how did Rio, or did Rio, diagnose a problem or a malady that you had and start a healing process for you?
he surely did. As you just said, he was assigned to me. They say that the perfect dog finds you for the time that you need them and for the purpose that you need them. And a dog couldn't step into bigger shoes right then. He was my miracle. He still is my miracle. He diagnosed me. He came in. He would smile at me every morning. I would take him for dog training. He fell to love it. So every day he would run to the door and just look at me, then look at the door, look at me, look at the door, like, "Where are we going today, Mom? We gotta go. We gotta
He
go."
liked going out. Yeah.
He enjoys it. He enjoys it so much. So that became our routine. Sometimes I'd go out like 5 or 6 times during the week to dog training and dog shows and different things like that. So he got me out and about. I was meeting new people, making new friends in the dog world, and setting new goals. It was very important for me, and got me out of my depression. It really, it took a little bit, but it raised my spirits, gave me goals, things to look forward to, and just to have this little boy by my side. After losing the people that were really like my main cheerleaders and my best friends, I needed a soul that would be with me and encourage me and love me. And Rio was my miracle, my
So he,
soulmate.
yeah, he helped you move past the sadness of your loss and depression. That's correct. I assume that was your malady.
Yes.
Okay. Let me go on to say, I had to look up what from the American Kennel Club, what exactly all this, because I have never had a dog of my own. Now, my daughter, because her husband wanted it, she has gotten a dog which is a Yorkie poo poodle, and the father was a Beagle Cavalier, and he seems very similar to Rio. He's a little mischievous, he marches to his own path, knows his own mind, and he really loves me, because this is what happened. I don't expect him to do tricks or obey necessarily, because I just visit the home. So I give him plenty of space to be himself. And when he was a little puppy, he was so small. And I'm an empath. I could feel he an energy healer. So I gave him some Reiki. And I could see he put his head up like he was hit with a bolt of lightning. And a couple of weeks later, when I went back and I went to give him some Reiki, he actually bowed his head. He was so aware of the connection to spirit. And it was just so amazing, because never having a dog, it was really amazing for me to see his response.
Wow.
And like you said, your dog follows you around. He's so close to you. He's so, wherever you go, he goes. Well, Rocky started doing that with me. And waiting outside the door for me, walking by my side, and I didn't quite know how to train him, because I never, he wasn't my dog, he was my daughter and the family's dog. But anyhow, tell us about some of the qualities of a Belgian Tervuren. Is that how? Tervuren. It's
People
kind of
can
hard to
mispronounce.
say that name.
It is.
He's a certain
People
breed, so tell us about his breed.
pronounce it different ways. Some say Tavern and some people say Treviren and other
Oh,
variations. But
Tervuren sounds right. Tervuren sounds
they're a
just right.
beautiful they're a lovely breed. In appearance, they're elegant looking with the longer fur and often multicolor. Rio is dark. He's black, brown, and white. And I say he's very elegant looking. Personality wise, they are dedicated. Typically, they will pick one family member and dedicate themselves to that person relentlessly. I mean, follow them everywhere and be part of their life.
They're
Be their
loyal.
soulmate.
They're very loyal. Yeah.
Extremely loyal. They're also very, very sensitive. A lot of dogs are not. A lot of dogs, they're more thick-headed or thick-skinned or whatever. But if you raise your voice just a touch, or sometimes if you move when he was younger, if I just moved too quickly or if I dropped something, he would like jump up so fast and like bounce, almost bounce off the wall.
Yeah, he was
Very,
very
very.
alert. Yeah.
Very alert, very sensitive, to sounds and also emotionally. Even
It
now, like if
sounds like me. Maybe he's an empath.
I think he is. I think he is. They're very, very smart dogs. They like to. They always need a job to do. If you don't give them a sign, if you don't train them, if you don't keep busy with them, they will find things to do on their own, especially if you're not home. And you may not like the jobs that they come up with and the things that they do. So it's good, like I said, like to take them out and to do the training. And with Rio, it was like almost nonstop. A little bit in the morning, I'd come home from work and take him to training and A very friendly dog. He's very, very friendly. Unlike some of the Belgian Tavirans, some of them are more cautious and standoffish with other dogs. He's very friendly and become known
No,
as Blake.
they're just like people. They're unique. They have their own specialness. Doesn't matter what breed they are, they have their own soul, purpose, and destiny
Yes.
and plan. Now, I have another coincidence with you. The Stacy was the teacher that you went to for the confirmation lesson so that you could show the dog. And my daughter is Stacy. It's spelled exactly the same way you have it, Stacey. And she taught you a routine. The way you would show the dog. You want to tell us about that?
Sure, for the confirmation ring, like for
Yes.
Westminster, we had to. There's a routine that she taught us where when we first go into the ring, you have to. All the dogs would run around the ring together, following, the lead dog, and then you all line up your dogs and do what they call a stack, where you line up the dog's legs, kind of like a, almost like a square or a rectangle, depending on the breed. Some dogs are will self-stack. Rio was pretty good at doing that. Other dogs, you need to stack them. And then the judge would ask us to run around the ring one at a time, and she would take a close look at each one of us, and she would inspect each dog one at a time and check his teeth to, make sure that they have all their teeth and that they're clean, and the structure of the dog, the conformation of the dog. The purpose of the show ring is to perpetuate the standards of the breed. So they try with the conformation, the Westminster type shows, to pick the dogs that best represent the breed according to the breed standards
Is
that are written.
that for breeding them for
Yes.
a new generation?
Yes.
Oh, I
Yes.
see.
What they have a breed standard for each breed. Each breed has they call it like a national group, and there's international groups too. There's the American Kennel Club, and there's similar groups, the United Kennel Club, and there's groups around the world, and they set their standards for each breed. And the people who breed the dogs are to meet that breed. They strive very hard to breed, to get the dogs to be alert, let's say for the Belgians, to be alert, to be elegant, to stand a certain way, to look a certain way, to have certain colorings and markings. And each breed is slightly different, some of them very different. But that's what the purpose of the show is. The judges are to pick out, as the winners, the dogs that best meet the breed standard. And
Well,
those dogs typically are the ones that are bred the
oh,
most.
and that's interesting. Okay. How did you get involved with sharing Rio with people in nursing homes and hospice settings?
I had heard about therapy dog work, and I never thought about doing it. I never thought that I was, able to do it, that I would qualify. And then at one of the training that taught there, she actually became a judge. She was a judge that would qualify people to go to nursing homes and have a certified through a group called Pet Partners. There's groups, many, many different groups that will certify people throughout the United States and throughout the world. But that was the group that was local to us, and I had read about them, read about therapy dog work through different groups. The American Kennel Club has that
Well,
as a title, and some other
some more coincidences
as a
with you.
community.
Some more coincidences. I did hospice for 8 years. I went to hospice, and
Wow.
why did I do that? Of course, I knew many people were still so afraid of dying, and I no longer was as a result of the work I was doing, the healing work and the mediumship work. And you're called to that. You were called to that somehow. Just like you were called to show him and to find the joy in that, and then to use his joy, his talents, and help people. And I think that's really beautiful. And
I
yeah,
think
it's
that's part of my
so
journey as far as like
yes,
learning and getting out of depression, and it
it's
totally changed
helping
my
other
life having
people.
Rhea.
Yeah, being of
Yeah.
service. Somebody once asked me, a doctor in the office I work in, and he says, well, why are you doing this hospice work? It's so depressing. I said, I'm doing it because I can. Simply because I was able to. And I was able to help people. And it helped me also a great deal. because I learned so much from the people that I interacted with, both the staff and the people and the families. So let's go on to tell us what you want readers to take away with them after reading this book.
I want people to come away inspired, and I think a lot of what I wrote about and what I've learned through the process of, you know, going through the depression and experiencing life with Rio, he taught me a lot. Live in the moment. Enjoy every moment that you're in. There's no use worrying about tomorrow and the past is gone. Make the best of that current moment. And what's so important is love, not fear, not hate. When one focuses on love and joy and you focus on that and Shelley, you've spoken about, you know, spirituality and everything like that. My life has changed even beyond the book, where I've done a lot of listening to, like, the YouTube videos and things like that on the universe and, you know, transitioning and spirituality, and that we are really spirits here in a human form.
Absolutely. and so many of us never find that, but for the people who find it, it is the greatest gift the universe or the divine or God, whatever you wish to call it, can give us. And it's you actually wrote this. I needed to get out into the world and look for self-fulfillment and new opportunities because they were not going to find me. I needed to discover what I was meant to be doing. I did a lot of reading and understand to attain anything good. I needed to focus on good, positive thoughts, and with that good, positive energy, and positive energy would come. And you know what? You had a great deal of suffering, as we all do with the loss of our loved ones, and the difficulty of seeing people pass from cancer, or see them diminish as they get older. But it brought you to a state of awareness of who you are, and the love you have for life, and bringing Rio to help others, and it was your destiny, it was your way. So I want to thank you, Joni Dark Shepherd, author of Rio, A Love Story, for sharing a story of a loving family and your love of animals as you navigated your life, always looking for courage and hope to accept all life's challenges. Rio was a source of great joy and led you to experience many aspects of life that were soul-building. To purchase this book, go to JoniDarkShepherd.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, it may have become apparent to listeners that the events in our lives are not random, and there is a time and place for us to discover new friends that often lead us to new events, interests, and love. In Joni's story, Rio was the right pet at the right time who brought a quality to life that encouraged great personal growth. Joni wrote, "As we spent more time together, Rio and I became even closer and accepted each other as we are. In fact, we became inseparable. There came a point when I realized that Rio had claimed me as all his. He began following me everywhere around the house, watching my every move and listening to every word I spoke, as if he understood each one. Joe began calling Rio my shadow and both of us twins, not always with approval, but rather with a bit of jealousy. I thought Rio and I were becoming more like soulmates. I did not realize at that time, but Rio had become my strength and someone I could rely on who was always there for me. And Rio knew it. Joni and I would have you know that whether it's a pet, a family, relative, or friend, it is the most human and divine objective to be interconnected to others and to life, and a great gift to know intimately you are always valued and never alone. Be open to building loving relationships with all who come into your life, as it is not random, and you are growing spiritually, emotionally, stronger by all these connections. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to listen to and read about leaders in the metaphysical, scientific, spiritual, religious, educational, and the arts and music, share their views of life, death, love, and eternal life. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.